friends. You're listening to the Tabletop Tales, stories told collectively around, well, a table. The Melody Keeper is who I am, and you are our guests. You see, I am in the middle of singing a song known as the Quest for the Best Song. The four heroes stand in the company of the Lake Keeper of Xalathax. Crispin has just commanded the sky itself with an ancient song. The storm quelled, the party on edge, and Seth, his star fragment whirring and buzzing, deepening his questions. Crispin, Glonk, Seth, and Willub stand upon a newly opened portal, one that even I remain leery of. Our Glonk Dawkins walks straight in, although maybe as unknowing as ever. I begin to walk down
towards the slot, and I pull out the mirror.
You set it down, and it magically locks into place. Ka-chink! Mm. Right as you put it down, the mirror fades into the stone, and you see a reflective surface that looks like another portal that leads deep below the surface of the Blighted World. Mm.
I glance over at the Lake Keeper.
Gentlemen, be careful in that world. People who've gone in have become totally different people when they've come out.
I go, adios, caballero.
Hasta luego, muchacho.
I draw my sword and dive in.
We follow Glonk into the mirrored world.
Fall for a long time and finally splash into shallow black water. You see nothing except deep blackness that seems to shift all around you, and water that dimly reflects a strange light that doesn't seem to be coming from anywhere.
Whoa, creepy.
Can we see anything around us at all?
You just see the dark watery floor stretching on forever in every direction, and you can see your reflection when you look down.
I just pick a direction and start walking forward.
You walk forward, your feet softly splashing with each step, and you hear it echoing through the void until you feel this rush of cold air hit your back as the water around your feet begins to crystallize.
Oh. I turn around.
You turn around and you see dark, foggy mist creeping in around you. It sort of gathers and swirls, forming these shapes that look just like you, but pitch black and faceless.
Mm. And you're all just staring at yourselves. They pull out their weapons.
Whoa.
And then you hear,
easy,
behind them.
Easy now.
And then they kind of just put their weapons back. And then they all go into their backpacks and pull out a little note.
On each of these notes is a word. A word that reveals your future.
Whoa.
I walk up to my shadow and take the note.
Same.
This entire time, you can't really see where this voice is coming from. It just sounds like it's coming from the shadow versions of yourselves.
I am the usurper demon. Lord of the demons, taker of souls, and ruler of the mirrored world. I know your past, and I've seen your futures. The world of Harborn sees you as heroes, but that word means nothing to me. Everyone is the protagonist of the story in their own eyes, but hero or villain, you still cannot escape your fate.
And what about the giant frost mage? He wants to freeze over our world. And, I mean, probably yours too. Surely you agree he's the villain of this story.
Ha! He is no true villain. He is weak. He knows nothing of my power. I defeated the Conqueror, that great demon king of old. I command thousands upon thousands of souls. My vision reaches across time and distant worlds.
Say, these notes,
If we read them, what will we see?
A glimpse of what is to come. One word about your future. It may be good, it may be bad, but whatever it is unavoidable.
So what's the catch?
No catch. Consider it a gift from me. Read it or don't is your choice, but know this. Once you read it, you will not be able to share it with anybody else. This knowledge is yours alone to carry.
I open the letter and read my word.
Yeah, I open mine too.
Me too.
Same.
Well, are you satisfied?
It's a pretty positive word for me.
I hold mine against my chest and then tuck it into my robe.
I pull out the picture of the two angels I took from the point and look back at my note, and I look conflicted.
I just fold mine back up and slide it into my pocket.
Well, self-proclaimed heroes, what brings you to the mirrored world?
We're here because of the storm in the blighted world. Do you know how to stop it?
Of course I know how to stop the storm. There's a creature at the center of the storm. This creature has been corrupted, and now it is the source of this storm. You could defeat the creature and end the storm, but it is impossible to get to the eye of the storm from the outside, unless you have my help.
And just to clarify, why do you want to help us?
The storm, it's become a problem for myself as well, you see. Once the storm covered the quarry, the dwarves stopped sending their miners to harvest the Stromsteins, but I rely on those miners to build my armor.
You look behind the four shadow versions of yourselves, and you see rows and rows of faceless, misty dwarves in shackles and chains.
So, gentlemen, I'll make a deal with you. I'll help you enter that storm so you can stop it, and when the quarry reopens, I can continue claiming dwarven souls.
I'm gonna be totally honest with you. Seems like we've got a similar desire to quell this storm. But you're kind of like a devourer of souls, and we're kind of about like saving souls. So I just feel like there's a conflict of interest here, and we might not be a great match.
So you would rather let the entire overworld freeze over and die and become slaves to one being than let a few dwarves lose their soul every now and again? Is that right?
You might actually have a point, Willib. If we don't stop the storm, we can't repair the lyre and defeat the Frost Mage. What he's doing is evil, but what we're doing is good. I think sometimes there can't be light without some darkness. Maybe we let this one slide for the sake of balance.
Your angel friend has got it.
What do you need us to do?
Here's my plan. In exchange for you getting rid of this storm, I will use my magic I have to put you in the center of the storm. But you'll have to fight whatever's in there. Not even I know it's in there.
I think it's a risk we're willing to take.
Will we find you here afterwards?
No. I'll know when you completed the task. I'll reopen a portal for you to re-enter the world above, per our deal. Or I could kill you all now.
I look at Willib.
Yeah, I don't think we stand a chance against this thing.
I can't do it.
I put my hand on Willib and say, maybe this once. We have to let it go.
I won't. And I shapeshift into a bear and pounce on Dark Willib.
You pounce on Dark Willib and you're holding Dark Willib to the ground, and Dark Willib doesn't resist.
He doesn't resist?
No.
And I rear up to slash him.
You rear up to slash and he goes,
not a good idea, Willib.
And I do it.
As your claw enters, you have a flash forward of what's going to happen to you.
You see yourself alone, falling in a never-ending darkness, and then you feel this giant hand wrap around you, squeezing the life from you. And you can hear this terrible, icy scream echoing all around you as you keep falling.
As then you come back, and the Dark Willib is just like staring right back at you.
And nothing has happened.
No.
I dig my teeth into him. I go into a rage and start slashing.
You start shredding him apart as the nightmares become more and more real. You feel pain and terror, and you have this vision of Glonk and Crispin and Seth gathered without you. They look sad and tired, and you can hear them calling out your name, but you can't answer. You watch as each of them go their separate ways as you keep falling into darkness.
And I'm just screaming and roaring and getting tired from all the slashing.
Then I run over to him and try to restrain him and pull him off.
I rush over to help.
And I'm fighting them.
Yeah, make a strength check. Willib, roll with disadvantage because you're starting to get exhausted from all these nightmares.
21.
18.
They pull you off of Dark Willib.
And I'm like grabbing his face, looking into his eyes and say, come back, Willib, come back.
And I'm panting and shift back into a halfling and kind of collapse on the ground.
You collapse on the ground and the demon speaks up again and goes,
I told you not to do that, Willib. You didn't want to see that, did you?
I'm looking around into the darkness, trying to find the source of this voice, and I just shout out, fuck you!
Shall I beam you in?
I pick up Willib and put him on my shoulder and say, send us in.
You put Willib on your shoulder, and then you see all of your mirrored bodies form into one and then just encompass you, and then you just see darkness, and then as you...
You appear next to a canyon with a river of lava at the bottom, right in the heart of the storm, and you're surrounded by this tornado of violent wind. There's lightning flashing from every direction and huge chunks of rock and debris flying through the air. You can barely see through it all.
I squint into the storm and debris and hold up Lightbringer.
You unsheath Lightbringer, and part of the storm in front of you opens up a little bit more. You can see through it.
And you can make out this colossal Tarrasque. It looks like it's falling apart, and its body is made of boulders and chunks of earth, but they're like swirling around in the wind and held together by arcs of electricity, like he's an actual storm himself.
It looks like there's a colossus of some sort made out of storms, lightning, meteor, rocks.
This is not gonna be easy.
Seth feels the star fragment vibrating at a rate that he has not felt it before.
Oh my god. I don't know what's going on, guys. It's freaking out.
And I walk into the storm.
You walk towards the Colossus, and the Colossus kind of like... This big storm just like turns around and looks at Glonk. This purple lightning flashes through the air.
I scream into the storm. We're not afraid of you.
It echoes through the canyon as the Tarrasque looks down at you and releases the sound. It almost sounds like he's laughing at you.
Fuck you!
Yeah, fuck you!
Fuck you!
Fuck you.
Roll for initiative. What's up, everybody? My name is John. I am the DM and half of the Score team, currently suffering from a little bit of morning voice. Really, I'm using this timbre to my advantage as I tell you about our new stickers. Yes, exactly. We have new stickers that we're super stoked to send out to anyone who signs up to the Patreon for a limited time until we run out of stickers. That starts at $2 at our lowest tier. The other tiers can get you things like deleted scenes, score before it comes out on Spotify, or even a character giving you a personal shout out of your choice. So go check us out on Patreon if you wanted to get your name permanently in one of our movements, as well as getting a sticker for your laptop or your toaster, if that's where you want to put it. That is the place to look. Anyway, let's go check out what our boys are up to down in the Blighted World. Peace.
I rolled a 17.
I got a 19.
Got a 9. 14.
All right, so the Tarrasque is standing in the middle of this lava canyon, and you see these three sort of tethers connecting from the Tarrasque to these three glowing rocks nearby.
Okay.
As it then pans over to Seth, your star fragment is bouncing around your bag.
Gotcha. I'm gonna cast True Strike.
Nice.
See what up.
You can tell that it's getting a lot of its strength and power from these three tethered things.
Okay. So I shout over the storm so everyone can hear me. This is gonna sound crazy, but don't focus your attention on the big guy, but hit the things that are tethered to him instead.
Yeah, Glonk, it's your turn.
Okay, so I jump across the rocks to get to the other side of the canyon, and I pull out the Drum of the Hero. And I slam on it as I run towards the tether, and it gives everybody +2 on attack rolls.
Whoa!
And that's about all I can do right now.
Crispin joins in and starts playing his banjo.
Okay, it's the Tarrasque's turn. He takes two steps towards Crispin playing the banjo, and you see this claw of lightning stretch out from the storm in the center of him.
Oh my god.
He looks directly at Crispin playing his banjo as he goes in for an attack.
Shit.
Cool, so this hits you. He pulls back pure lightning energy and just...
Here we go.
For 7 damage.
I take half damage from lightning because of my blue dragon ancestry. So suck my ass, Tarrasque.
And then he looks over at Glonk. So he goes over to you. And hits you for 6.
I can take it.
He then reaches into his cyclone that makes up his body with the lightning claw and grabs one of the rocks and just launches it towards Willib and Seth.
Cool, so it hits. Willib takes 5 damage and Seth takes 4 damage.
Shit, we're getting rinsed out here.
And the Tarrasque just puts its arms like back in his body and is still tethered to these Sturmsteins. As we continue on to Willib.
This guy means business.
Yeah.
I cast jump on myself to triple my jump distance.
Yeah.
And I jump over the Tarrasque onto the other side of the lava.
Make an athletics check.
Wow.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah, so you jump with your spell over the Colossus. It kind of just looks up at you, goes behind him, and you like barely grab on the ledge as you pull yourself up and stand across on the other side.
And then I shapeshift into a bear.
As we shift down to Crispin's turn.
Wait, so he's made up of weather things, right?
He's made up of weather.
So
control him.
Yes. So I play the banjo louder and use the song to tame the skies to try and control the storm inside of him and hold him in place.
Oh yeah, roll for performance.
17 plus performance, baby. 21.
The wind that was flowing one way starts to reverse and go the other way.
Ooh.
To kind of like create this binding around him, preventing him from moving.
Seth, your turn again.
I cast haste on Clonk. The target's speed is doubled.
Hell yeah.
Gains a +2 bonus to his AC.
Oh my lord.
And has advantage on dexterity saving throws, and it gains an additional action on each of its turns.
No way.
But when the spell wears off, you can't move or take any actions.
Okay, cool.
So Seth does that to you.
Uh-huh.
Boom, Glonk's turn.
I then take my eyes off of the giant, grab Vias's dagger, and slash it through the air.
You disappear.
So time stops around me, and I start sprinting towards where the nearest tether is anchored to the ground.
So you see, like, this tethered rope of energy coming from this Sturmstein.
And so I would pull out my dwarven pickaxe and try to just smash the Sturmstein as hard as I can.
Roll the hit.
18 plus strength is +4.
Yeah, that hits. Roll for damage.
Okay, can I count this as a sneak attack?
On a rock!
I mean, yeah.
Yes, okay. 17 damage to the rock.
Let's go.
You pull back both of your big orc hands, and with this war pick in hand, you bring it over your head, just splitting the Sturmstein into ceasing the energy from moving. And you hear like, as it tries to retract what's left of that tentacle.
Yeah.
Dealing that much damage to the Colossal.
So then I use my extra movement from the haste, thank you, Seth, to sprint all the way past the Tarrasque over to the next Sturmstein.
And smash the shit out of that one.
Okay, roll a
d20. 13.
Yep, it hits.
Great. 6.
So you pull back the war pick again and just split it in two as one of the other tethers just get retracted, as you can visibly see a little bit less energy in the middle of that storm colossus, dealing 15 damage to him.
Great. I end my turn.
All right, so the Tarrasque attempts to break free from Crispin's song.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a nat 1.
Critical fail! Critical fail!
You fail!
Yeah, so he's bound by this song. And he tries, like, pulling out, trying to break free from this hold. And
the wind binding him constricts even tighter,
dealing 11 damage to himself.
Critical fail!
Yeah, that's a critical fail for you. We'll go over to Willib.
Does it look like there's, like, a source of energy in the middle of him or anything?
There's like a source of energy you can kind of see in the middle, but it's only because you've gotten rid of 2 of his tethers at this point.
Okay, so I was looking this way and see Glonk smash it and then see the tethers break and turn back around towards him. And I think about those 1,000 imprisoned dwarf souls. And I think, I'm not doing this for the demon. I'm doing this for the souls. And I go into a barbarian rage and with my triple jump distance, leap not over him, but through him.
Oh, wow.
Into that power source, trying to slash through it as I leap mouth first, biting.
Wow.
Roll to hit.
Let's go.
21.
So it hits.
Now roll for damage.
Nice.
So I deal 10 plus 2 for my rage, so 12.
You jump in, you bite it as you tear through his energy cyclone like you were describing in the middle of him and reach the other side.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I crash through and I land and skid right up next to Seth.
You look over at Crispin.
I put away my banjo.
The storm around him starts to lessen.
I pick up Lightbringer and rush towards the Sturmstein closest to me and slash at the tether connecting it to the Tarrasque.
Roll.
I got 15.
You hit it.
6?
Nice, so you just hack off this tether.
Severing it from the Tarrasque, and he roars in pain.
Then I cast Bardic Inspiration to Seth.
Thanks.
And then it's Seth's turn.
I'm gonna throw one of my mini barrels of explosive powder.
Yeah.
Wow.
I light a fuse on the barrel and chunk it into the swirling mess in
nice.
Front of me. 7.
So you try to throw it at the epicenter. It doesn't quite hit the epicenter, but it hits one of his sides. And it explodes as rock and whatnot just gets sent everywhere, dealing 7 damage to the Great Colossus.
I turn to Seth and I give him a big lick.
As we go over to Glonk, who's stuck because his haste ended.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It goes over to Tarrasque's turn. So now that you've cut off all of his tethers, you can see that storm that was once full of rock and everything folds out over itself as he, like, enters this colossal rage.
Oh. I think we made him angry!
The energy tethers that were connected to the Sturmsteins are now whipping around in the air, and he whips one of them at Willem.
Hit me.
And hits him for 6 damage, and then goes for Glonk, and he just, like, barely missing him.
Nice.
But he goes in, pulls out a rock again, and just hurls it at Glonk, dealing 11 damage. Just smacking you square in the chest. Just
ow.
Ow.
Sending you to the ground.
Ow.
As he then turns over to Crispin.
Oh god, he's still going.
Pulls out 2 rocks and just throws 2 of them at you.
Shit.
Yeah, that hits you. So he deals 7 damage to you and then looks over at Glonk, who's laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
So he reaches within his, like, own soul and pulls out this lightning bolt.
Oh.
Of purple.
My lord.
Like, absolute energy. And just Zeus Peyton Manning throws directly
Zeus
at you.
Zeus Peyton Manning.
So you're going to make dexterity saving throw.
Let's go.
Dex save.
And you have to beat 17.
Okay. I have plus 4 on dex saving throws.
Nice.
Yes!
20.
Wow. 6. So now you just take 13 damage.
13 damage on a success? Holy shit. I've got 1 health left.
I'm not doing too well myself.
And then it ends its turn. And then it goes over to Willem.
Okay. Can I stand on the Sturmstein?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
So I hop up on the Sturmstein, and I'm going to roll to slash him and bite him.
Sick. Roll.
The 1.
Halfling lucky.
Yeah, I'll re-roll it with my lucky trait. 2. I use my inspiration.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a 10, plus the Drum of the Heroes, plus 2, plus 5 to hit, 17?
Nope.
Bummer.
Dang.
You missed with the bite.
And 18.
Nope.
Damn, this thing's got some armor.
All right, so I try to bite him, and then I try to claw him, and both times I just get, like, a mouthful of wind.
He just kind of, like, looks at you with his big, colossal eyes. We go over to Crispin.
I light his ass up. Blue lightning.
It hits, but he's resistant to lightning, so it only deals 1/2 damage.
And here's the damage roll.
Dang, 14. So I take 1/2 of that.
Nice.
Seth, it's your turn.
I'm going to place my healing hands on Crispin, and I give you 6 hit points back.
Woo! Glonk!
All right, how big are the rocks making up this guy?
They're, like, big enough to stand on.
Hell yeah.
I'm practically dead, but I grit my teeth and get up and sprint towards the Tarrasque and just start leaping into him and smashing around with my swords.
Yeah, roll to hit.
20.
Hell yeah.
So you jump, but you jump into like the center of it.
Using my two swords. 13.
You like go face to face with the core of this thing itself. Mm-hmm. And you just start just like hacking and slashing for 13 damage.
And then I leap out the other side and collapse onto the ground and pull myself back up very, very injured.
And it goes to the Tarrasque. The Tarrasque, you can see, is starting to get more and more enraged as it looks right at Willem.
Good.
And he pulls out those beams and hits you twice. So it hits you once for 11 and hits you again for 10. So you get hit for 21 damage.
Oh my god.
Nah, I can take that. They don't call me the beast for nothing.
As he just beams you to hell.
And I'm grinning the whole time.
And then he picks up what's left of some rocks that's still surrounding him and throws it over at Seth and Crispin.
God.
So both of you take 7 damage.
Shit. Down to 10.
What the hell?
It goes on to Willem.
And I'm just gonna stay right here. And I'm gonna try and hit him again. 224.
Yeah, it hits.
I pick up my two claws and I rake them down his face.
Ooh.
16.
Wow.
Nice. So you rake both of your bear claws down the face of this colossal as Crispin jumps in.
I'm gonna hit him with lightning again, even though we're both resistant to it. Just to really show him who's in charge here.
Lightning!
Yeah, it hits him.
F!
For 15 damage.
Whoa, dude.
15.
That's pretty good.
He takes half damage, and we go to Seth's turn.
I cast magic missile and launch them all toward him for 12 damage.
So you, like, conjure up these three missiles and just as they, like, circle him, and then they all just simultaneously crash into him.
Yeah.
And then it goes over to Glonk.
So jumping through, slashing, landing here, spinning around, running back through,
and
jumping again to try to land somewhere in the middle.
Roll another d20 to see how good your jump was.
2 plus 7, 9.
You don't go to the center of him this time, but you're like on him.
Now I roll to attack.
Oh my
Nat 20! Here comes the half-orc critical with 3 sneak attack dice. Shit.
That's 3d8s and 3d6s.
All right, roll away, man. Roll a freaking way.
38.
38 damage.
Oh.
I start climbing through him, smashing.
And then now you're just slashing away, slashing away. As you're like clawing your way to the center and you stab him in the center. As you pierce the center, does a flash of an explosion, knocking you back into Crispin and Willem. As you have defeated the colossal giant. But because you pierced the very hearts of this colossus, this energy-like field that you just let out is starting to like implode on itself, pulling in the surrounding things in front of it. So Crispin, Willem, and Glonk, we roll for strength.
I got a 3.
I got a 24.
I got a 23.
Wow. So you needed a 25.
Oh, shit. Oh,
none of us made it.
So all of you start getting pulled in as this like cone of energy is pulling you guys in.
We were so close.
And you're just fumbling on the inside. The force is strong enough to start spinning you guys, and Seth has a clear view of what's happening.
Seth, help! Yeah, I'm still a bear, but I'm screaming too.
At this point, Seth's star fragment is oscillating at an insane speed. It is vibrating so much that you can barely hold it in your hand.
Yeah. I look at the star fragment and think about the note the usurper demon gave me and the two angels in the picture that looks so familiar to me. But then I think about Grandma and the book in his room, and I hesitate.
The energy inside of the Tarrasque is now collapsing in on itself, and it looks like it's about to implode.
I look up at Crispin and Willop and Glonk and remember the holy symbol in my pocket.
And I take a deep breath, I spread my wings, and jump towards the explosion, throwing the star fragment as hard as I can into the center of the energy.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Okay, roll for accuracy of throw.
Okay. 15!
Okay, so you throw it, you sail it through the air as everyone's like spinning, spinning, spinning. As it hits, it makes like a clink, and then a... As all this star fragment and energy gets shot away, Glock goes this way, Willow goes this way, Crispin gets flown all the way over here, Seth gets knocked down, the Colossal is no more. A lot of the power, though, from the star fragment, after Seth threw it, absolutely consumed Seth.
Oh, God.
And as this energy surrounds Seth, it throws him back into a flashback as he remembers his life before he fell.
Seth was born in the celestial world of Elysium, which is where angels are from. It's a halo-shaped paradise full of light and nature. Most people there live simple, peaceful lives, providing for themselves as farmers and such. And that's how Seth spent the first 12 years of his life. Seth was pretty difficult throughout his childhood. Even though things were peaceful in Elysium, he didn't fit into the norm and often questioned why things were the way they were. So he was seen very early on as a rebellious kid, and it made a lot of other angels sort of shun him and his parents because they didn't fit into this perfect community. Seth's mom, who was once very involved in the community, became more and more private, keeping to herself until she eventually began to hear a voice in her head telling her that the reason she wasn't accepted by her neighbors anymore was because of her son. The voice convinced her that the only choice she had was to kill the boy so she could go back to living her normal life.
Oh my God.
So on the night of Seth's 13th birthday, his mother grabbed a sickle from the farmhouse and made her way to the house. But his father had noticed her change in demeanor and heard her talking to herself. So he notices she isn't at her son's 13th birthday, looks out the window to see what once was his wife with darkness in her eyes and a sickle in her hand, ready to kill. So he quickly takes Seth into the basement of their home and opens up a hatch in the floor, placing Seth inside the small glass compartment. Just as his dad was telling him everything was going to be okay and that he needed to be brave, the banging on the door became louder and Seth's mom barged in, holding the sickle high above her head. Seth and his dad locked eyes, not saying anything, sharing only tears because they knew this monster was no longer his mother. She was something else. Something had twisted her and made her do this. The last thing he saw was his father turn around to face his mother as the small compartment was lodged out through the bottom of Elysium. Seth gets thrown into space, and suddenly, there's a new stronger gravity that grabs a hold of the capsule and pulls him away from his home. And as the world of Harborn comes into view, Seth is weeping and starts to feel a change inside of him. The feathers start to fall from his wings as they shrivel up. His hair turns from gold to pitch black, and his halo cracks down the middle. The escape pod around him starts to glow red hot as the holy energy escapes from him, forming into a fragment of a star, as his memories of Elysium and his family start to fade. He finally crashes down in the small town of Dagger's Edge, and nobody in this town has ever seen anything like him before. They are fascinated by his powers, but also disturbed by his appearance. So Seth is forced to grow up alone on the streets with no family and no memories of his past. As he gets older, he gets in more and more fights with other townsfolk, and people around town start to say that he's cursed. So he eventually leaves and starts to wander across the land of Valengard alone, always getting into trouble, until he wanders into the Beguiled Bear Tavern in Woodshire and sits down to play a game of cards.
And that's where he meets Crispin?
Yes. So Seth regains all of his memories.
Wow.
Seth looks at his hands, realizing who he is, where he came from. And with that, feathers start growing out of Seth's wings.
Wow.
And he feels a new light upon him.
Willem sits up and looks over at Seth, who's looking down at his hands, and sees the feathers start to grow out, and gasps, and is beholding this, like, beautiful transformation.
Is this who I am?
Crispin dusts himself off and walks up to put a hand on Seth and chuckles to himself.
It's who you've always been. I saw the light in you the first day we met. The only difference now is you can see it too.
And I stand up,
also rejoin Seth
as he is changing and glowing, and I kneel and say, "That's a good look for you, Seth."
So the storm's starting to dissipate as you guys are having this tender moment. You can kind of see the quarry in its former glory. Some old equipment, you know, some shacks and whatnot. A lot of them have been battered in from the storm. But then now you can see this path that leads down towards the city.
We still need a Sturmstein.
So a lot of the Sturmsteins have like broken away and fallen, but there's one that's still like floating in front of Crispin.
I grab it.
You grab the Sturmstein. Just as you put that in your inventory, you hear a crack in the sky, and then you kind of hear the voice of that demon go,
"Our deal is fulfilled. Carry onwards, heroes,"
he says.
I glance over at Willem.
You see a flicker of rage in my eyes as I place my hand over the bottles of souls that are strapped to my belt.
And now you see the path that leads down into the city of Zalthax.
Let's go to the Blighted Peak.
To the peak.
To the peak.
We look to Seth to lead us there.
All right, you all go to the peak, and the closer you get to the peak, you see that big portal that you came in on has been now reopened.
I say, "Well, boys, if it's one thing I learned today, it's that we have to balance good and evil. No matter how hard it might be, we have to accept that there is a yang to a yin and a bong to a bing to truly live our lives to the greatest potential."
That's powerful.
Crispin puts a teardrop pin onto Seth's robe.
So, one by one, you all enter into the portal as this fiery comet soars over the blighted world, stretching across the starry sky.
Carries is vast. Who he was, who he is, a song in itself. The deal now fulfilled as the party surfaces to see what may lie ahead of them. If you are enjoying this story as much as I am, please help me reach other guests like you by sharing this podcast with your friends and rating or reviewing us. You can follow the Tabletop Tales now on TikTok at @_thetabletoptales, Instagram and Reddit at _thetabletoptales, on Twitter at _thetabletop, on Facebook at @thetabletoptales, or you can just visit our website, www.thetabletoptales.com. If you would like to be known by name by the Melody Keeper and become a part of this podcast, or would like to partake in dear Harbonian treasures, like curated recipes, songs from our world that have not yet been heard, or even untold stories that appear to have been lost, I suggest you look further upon our Patreon page, where many exciting Harbonian treasures await you. Find it at patreon.com/thetabletoptales. Now, in this movement, our dungeon master was John Fusner. Seth was played by Drew Pommel. Crispin Whisperix was played by Chris Chaput. Blanc Dawkins was played by Cam Marigold. Willow Willowbelly was played by Kyle McCann. Additional voices by Chris Chaput and John Fusner. Sound editing by Kyle McCann and Cam Marigold. Sound design by Kyle McCann. Movement mixing by Drew Bommel. Score mixing by Cam Marigold. Original score by Christopher Chaput and John Fusner. We'll see you next time at the tabletop.